Okay, I put this down a bit. It's titled in my one, Peter Declares That Jesus Is the Messiah. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked the crowds, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God."
All right. Thank you for leading worship, Nathan. That was wonderful. Let's bow our heads in prayer one last time before we open the word. Heavenly Father, we come before you to feed on you, to feed on the life that you've given us in Christ. And we pray that you'd reveal your will to us and your will for us and for our lives through your word today. We pray that your Holy Spirit will attend it, that it'll testify to its truth, and that he will empower us to follow Christ as he followed your will, even to death. And we pray for these things in Jesus' name, the name above all other names. Amen. Okay. So previously, in our sermon series through Luke, Luke has been teaching Theophilus an orderly account of all of the events of the life and ministry and words of Jesus of Christ, of Jesus of Nazareth, all the things that he began to do and teach, so that he may have certainty of the things which he's been taught. And for the past few chapters, for us, the past few months, he's been ringing this bell again and again. Jesus is God. Jesus has authority. The king is returning. He has come to establish his throne on Zion, where it won't be removed, and that if you want to join this kingdom, then you need to follow him. This is a kingdom which is for those who are poor in spirit. And in today's passage, we begin with Jesus, who has been traveling through the Galilean countryside. He's been healing, he's been exorcising demons, and he's been teaching, and he's been gathering crowds. But amongst the crowds, it is a mixed body, because the crowds aren't sure who Jesus is. or if they're sure who Jesus is, they're not quite there. And Jesus is teaching the disciples what it truly means to be one of his sheep, to separate these crowds who follow Jesus for the bread and for, you know, the healing, and for those who are following him so that they might gain their life. And our passage begins in 18, which was read for us by Sue Bracefield, that once when Jesus was praying, he asks the disciples, "Who do the crowd say I am?" Well, they say, "Well, you're a teacher, you're a prophet, you're like Elijah, like John the Baptist. But who do you say I am?" Well, they say that he is Christ's Messiah, the promised one, the King of David. And, you know, kingdom in those days, and especially this would have been your gut instinct if you're someone like Theophilus, who wasn't blessed with a wise and gentle monarch like we have been. He would have looked at the Caesars as his example of what it means to be a king. Someone like Augustus, who looked at a map of the Roman Republic and wasn't content with just running a third of it, looked at it, wanted it all, took his uncle's army, crushed his opposition, and took it all. But Jesus is teaching that to be Christ's Messiah, to be God's Messiah, to be the Christ of God, to be king, is to give up your desires and to look instead to the desires of God. He says this. He says, the Son of Man, God's Messiah, must suffer many things and must be rejected by elders, by chief priests and teachers of the law, and must be killed, and on the third day raised to life. He was showing them that to be king, to be God's king, was to be in submission to the will of God, which was to follow him and accomplish this plan for the ages which he had worked out in Christ. And this plan which went through the cross, where in order to gain authority and kingdom and glory and power and all might forever, he would have to empty himself out and willingly bear the punishment of God's wrath against sin for his people. And that is the first thing that Luke wants Theophilus to know that separates true disciples from the crowds, is that they know Jesus and they know his mission. That he's not just another Caesar or another of the many despots who came before Caesar and the many that came after. This was a king who gave up his own life's blood willingly to save and redeem his people, to transform them. And secondly, he says that for those who would distinguish themselves from the crowd and to be a true disciple of the king and to follow after the king, you must do the same. It says that you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow him. And in these simple words, we have the entirety of Christian life and Christian discipleship, what it means to follow after Christ. It's a path of self-denial. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's not self-denial for anyone's sake. In history and in the world, we have plenty of examples of people who deny themselves and die for their country or die for their family, die for their friends. This is a denial of self denial of yourself and your desires so that you can follow after the will of God like he himself followed after the will of God. He put aside, he being God didn't see that equality with God was something to be grasped, but he emptied himself out and took the form of a servant. And we do the same. We have many things that we can live for. We have plenty of opportunities, maybe nothing like Octavian had when he looked at the Roman Empire and thought, I want it all. But we have plenty of things in our lives that we want to take, plenty of ambitions that would place us in contrary to the will of God. And to deny yourself for Christ's sake means to put all of that to death, to choose away from that, and to take the path of a peacemaker, to take the path of sacrifice, to deny yourself means to deny any allegiance that would place you in opposition to the plans and will of God, to relinquish any possession or any opportunity that would place your life in opposition to the life which God would have you live. Now, what else doesn't that mean? Well, that doesn't mean that you give up the things that make you you. That doesn't mean that you give up all of the gifts which God has given you. It may mean that. It may mean that. But it may not mean that. It's about your heart. If you can't hold on to something without worshiping it, better to let it go. But remember also that the gifts that God has given you, he's given you for a reason. He's given you these things because he has a plan. Just like God had a plan for the life of Christ to bear the iniquity of us all, and to bring healing and transformation to this world, to unite all things in Christ, so also God has a plan for you. And what that means is that God's will and his revealed plan to reveal his gospel and to reveal his son to the nations through your service is the controlling will that governs your day-to-day. Second thing that Luke compares it to is he says that those must deny themselves and take up his cross daily and follow Christ. Other gospels go into it a lot more. In Matthew 17, he'll reveal to you that becoming a disciple of Christ, to put your desires aside and the desires of this world for the sake of God, will make you a target. It'll make you someone who stands out. Luke doesn't. It's there, but he simply says that to live this life of obedience to God's will is like taking up a cross and following Christ. It does set you apart and it places you in opposition to the world. The world will try to shame you, and the world will say that you don't fit in when you don't steal office supplies from the cupboard, even though everyone else does, or when you don't, or when you don't just take what you want in your family, right? When you don't just control and subjugate, why choose the path of tenderness? Why choose the path of putting other people's needs before yourself? It'll call you weak. But in doing this, you're following Christ. You're following Christ through a path of sacrifice and suffering into eternal reign in him. And thirdly, Jesus says that following God is of eternal benefit for you. he says that if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in glory with the glory of his Father and of his heavenly angels. And it sounds dramatic, but there is a warning here that while laying down your life will gain it, that holding on to your life is the surest way to lose it. That when Christ returns and the Father reads out your name, he will say, I know you, but I'm ashamed of you. You said you were just part of the crowds. You said you were followers of me, but you didn't follow me into the will of the Father. But to those who do, he says that you will not taste death before you see the kingdom of God. And though you'll die, and some of you may die, and plenty of Christians before us have died, when Christ returns, they will be raised to honor and glory and fellowship with God forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, simple words, but hard to follow. We pray for your Holy Spirit, without whom we couldn't read, without whom we couldn't see our great need. And Lord, we step forward cleansed in your blood, the sacrifice you made for our sins. And we rejoice to be included in you and in your community and in your mission. And Lord, we pray that in your Spirit we can choose the path of suffering, to lay down our lives so that we may gain our lives and follow you into your kingdom. Amen.